This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. I'm your host, Derek Howard, and you know what? I just realized I don't know how I'm going to do this. Oh, well, I just have to wait to post this when I get home. You can find Sci-Fi Noise at sci-fi-noise.com. Sci-Fi Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, you can go to deliberatenoise.com. In case you can't tell, I'm on my way to work. Now, this is the first time I've done a sci-fi I took it back. I'm not even going to say it. Anyway, the last big bunch of sci-fi noises I have done on my phone. And then I upload it to Auphonic, process it, post the show, that kind of stuff. This is the first time in a long time I've actually done one on my Zoom on the way to work. Now, the big difference is I have no way to automatically get it up to the internet. So I'm recording this in the morning. The earliest you'll get this will be later tonight, if I even remember to post it. It's the first time I haven't had a laptop at work in quite a long, long time. And I don't really know about this desktop situation, whether or not it even has a port. And you know what? Now I'm just talking about the process instead of giving content, which I apologize for. Anyway, there's this show on TNT, I believe, called The Last Ship. And I want to talk about it, but I'm not really 100% positive if I could categorize it as science fiction. Or if I do, it's very, very soft science fiction. It's basically this. Never mind. If you can categorize some of the stuff I talk about, then this can definitely go into science fiction. So, you know what? This is a very wishy-washy episode. So, anyway, here's the synopsis. All right. There's this Navy ship. It's like one of the best Navy ships that the U.S. Navy has. And they're running what they think are war games in Antarctica. And they're there for a long time. Like, a really, really long time. I want to say at least 9 months, but I could be wrong about that. But they're there for a long time. But at the same time, they have this, like, scientific expedition that's poking around in the snow and the ice down there. But because they're doing war games, they're supposedly on radio silence. So the only thing they get are, like, every now and then they'll get encrypted messages just for the captain. And the captain is played by Eric Dane, who is probably best known from his role on Grey's Anatomy. The guy's name was Mark. I don't know if they called him McDreamy or McSteamy. I can't remember which one. But he's the captain. I just want to say it's a good thing that he's a captain. I'm not really sure about his acting range, but he seems like the stoic type. You know, he doesn't really smile a whole lot. And I think about him on the other one. He was he was sort of goofy. So he may have just been playing himself. Jeez, I just say himself. Ugh. His second in command is Adam Baldwin, who was, of course, Jane from Firefly. Trying to think of the only other people. Oh, jeez. Rona Mitra, who was, of course, in the classic movie Doomsday. You know what? Now that I'm saying that in such a joking manner, I can't remember if I've actually talked about Doomsday on the show or not. Doomsday was a post-apocalyptic, right. It was a post-apocalyptic adventure. Yeah, it's just not a whole lot I could say about Doomsday other than it was a movie and I saw it. I remember kind of liking it, though. But in retrospect, I cannot remember very much else about it except that while Rona Mitra was not buff, she was very well put together in that movie. And I don't know if it was the director's call or the cinematographer or whose call it was, but there were a lot of pictures, a lot of camera angles of her from behind, and they were all greatly appreciated. And now that we've got past our sexual objectification portion of the show, she plays the doctor. Like I said, she's rooting around in the snow out there looking for something. And whatever it is she was looking for, she found. Excuse me. And, she was close to finding it when the, captain basically told her, pack up your shit, it's time to go. You know, we've been here for a lot of time, we've got to go. And she's explaining, well, look, I'm really close, so can we just not leave yet? And he's like, look, we've been in radio silence. We're going home. Just go get your stuff, right? So she storms off, and unbeknownst to him, makes a phone call. The next thing you know, he gets new orders, stay where you are until the doctor's ready to go, which kind of pisses him off because he's like, wait a minute, I thought I was in charge, you know? Anyway, I'm going to pass. Now I'm getting too many. Big overview. There's a ship out there looking for something, and then they find it. And when they find it, they are almost immediately attacked by Russian helicopters. Okay. And so when the captain wants to know what the hell is going on, that's when he finds out what the hell is going on. The reason that they were down there was looking for some germ, some like ancient disease, some kind of, you know, like virus strain. That's what the word I'm looking for. There's some kind of virus strain that's ancient. It only can be found in Antarctica, of all places. And the reason that they're looking for it is because while they were in the Antarctic, and not in the Antarctic, it's in the Arctic, it's in Antarctica, while they were there, there was this virus that swept across the planet like the plague it was. It killed a bunch of people, and a bunch of people also killed a bunch of people. And the reason that they were sent up there in radio silence was so that nobody would freak out and try to come home, because they had like the most important mission. And now she found it. And almost, like I said, almost immediately they're attacked by the Russians, which means, of course, you and I know what that means. There's a spy on board. Anyway, I'll get into too many much more details, which I think I've already used up my details allotment. it seems to be a lot better than most, I should say, shows of its ilk that deal with worldwide calamity. Because since we're seeing everything from the view of this crew that has pretty much been sequestered in the in Antarctica, since we're not supposed to have seen all the death and destruction, it sort of makes it a little bit creepier. And quite frankly, I like that. There have been some shows in the past where they talk about this worldwide calamity, like Falling Skies, for example. But they don't seem to have too much problems running into other people. And I mean, like, big groups of other people. So I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I always find it kind of weird. Same thing with Revolution, you know, which has been canceled, and I never made it past, like, the sixth episode. So maybe one of these days I'll do a binge watch so I can get caught up on that, you know, now that it's over and the story is done. But anyway, so these other places, you know, these other shows hint at this much larger problem, this much larger catastrophe, and they try to show us as much as they can within the budget, you know. But since this is a TNT show and they don't really have a big budget, and I think like a pretty big part of their budget goes to Michael Bay, who is the person behind this show. And say what you will about his movies, this TV show is actually pretty good, you know. Because it has such a limited budget and they don't have like need for a lot of sets, it sort of works that we can only hear what's going on with these other ones. Now there are a couple of there's a ship, we see a lot of the ship. When they get past the setup part and they're trying to make it back to civilization, the action sort of picks up a bit. You know, there's one part where they're trying to refuel. So they want to go to this particular city that we all know. And that city gets hit by a nuke, you know. It's sort of like that where you can see how they did certain things. And when you think about, you know, like I said, this is TNT, so it doesn't have like, I'm pretty sure it doesn't have like a huge budget. They're concentrating more on storytelling. And since TV is always a medium where they usually tell more than they show, I don't have a problem with it. You know, they're trying to bring like big budget, trying to bring like a big budget action movie to TV, you know, and for what they can do with the restraints they have, it's working. Oh my God, my mustache is tickling the hell out of my nose and I cannot figure out how to get it to stop. And I apologize. I know this is like a fucking not sequitur, but ugh. And it's all my mustache. Oh, here it is. I had to look in the rearview mirror. I have one hair from my mustache sticking straight up. And every time I would talk, it would either hit right in the middle of my nose or one of my nostrils. It's just that fucking long. All right, now I can talk without being completely fucking irritated. And like you who's listening, and you're probably completely fucking irritated. All right, now a couple of years ago, and I've been trying to think, there was another action show. It was on ABC that dealt with I think it was a submarine. It was like a submarine. I don't think it was a Navy ship. I think it was a submarine that had a bunch of nuclear weapons. Starred Andre Brower, and I really can't remember the name of it right now. I want to say it even might have had "last" in the title. I will have to add an addendum at the end of this episode because I'm almost at work anyway. Because I can't remember it, but it tried to do some of the same things where there's instead of a Navy ship, this was a Navy submarine, and it tried to tell stories with very limited scenery. It's supposed to take place where these guys went to this island, and the captain basically just kind of like said, like, he's the sovereign ruler of this island and he's no longer part of the United States government or something like that. I can't even remember. But he had nukes, so he was a new nuclear power, right? And the problem with that show is it tried to be too ambitious. You know, it didn't, like, build up. I think that it would have done a lot better if it had taken the same approach that made Lost such a success in the beginning, where they had like sort of a familiar feeling, which is sort of this is what they have with the last ship, is sort of familiar, where, hey, there's these guys on the ship, we've seen that before, who are coming across something that's bigger than them, right? With that other one, the Brower show, they tried way too much, way too quick, right? It seemed to suffer from like an identity crisis. So almost like it didn't know what kind of show it wanted to be, you know? It didn't know if it wanted to be action adventure, didn't know if it wanted to be like an almost science fiction type drama show, almost. It didn't know if it wanted to be a conspiracy show. All I know is that made for sort of a jumbled mess, you know. When they were on the island, I was kind of okay with it, you know, because there were people on the island, there was a warlord on the island, this island also had secrets, not Lost level secrets, but it was pretty good. There were actual civilians on the island, you know, there were people there. It seemed to be one type of show, and then all of a sudden, even though you have like U.S. warships cordoning off this island that this rogue submarine is on, people were still able to sneak out and somehow make it to downtown L.A. where they had a firefight before getting back on the island. And that just weirded me. I was like, that makes no sense. But when I saw that and I realized it made no sense, that's when it occurred to me that I should just shut up, sit back, and enjoy the ride, because this is just going to be, you know, that's exactly what my reaction was. Like, yeah, this, I don't think I need to take this very seriously, and therefore, I did not. I cannot remember the name of that show. So, like I said, I have to add something to this episode. But the last ship, so far, it kind of makes sense for them to be in places that appear to be abandoned, you know. Because one thing that I noticed about that other show that I was talking about, when they were in downtown L.A., for their gunfight, It was pretty damn empty. Almost like it was like a backlot of a television studio or something. It was kind of weird, you know? But this one makes a lot more sense. Although, when they said that they were at Guantanamo Bay, Guantanamo Bay seemed sort of familiar, you know? And I've never been to Guantanamo Bay. So anyway, I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to go to work. Sometime during the day, I will give you the name of that other show. And then who knows, on my ride home, I may think of some other stuff to say. So here's just a little break. Hey, I was right. The name was Last Resort. Okay, as I snuck and said, the other show that I was thinking about, the other last show, was Last Resort. It was an ABC show. And, you know, I thought it came out a long time ago. It came out last year. it is currently 2013. I always put the "and" in there because it drives my son crazy. But yeah, 2014. and it was on last year. Last Resort was on last year from 2012 to 2013, I believe. Anyway, it was a show that had a guy named Scott Speedman. And for some reason, I feel as though I should know who he is, but I have no idea other than this show. I think he was on a show called Felicity. Not 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure that it was him. One of the guys behind it was Sean Ryan, who was behind The Shield, and Terriers, which is one of my favorite shows of the past few years. I forgot what he's doing now. I want to say he's doing the upcoming Gotham TV show that tells about Gotham City before there was a Batman. But there was Andre Brower, who was on it. Daisy Betts played one of my favorite characters. She was like a female EXO, real kick-ass, competent character, right? Not just female character, but character, period. Just really with it and together. So, of course, they gave her a backstory. She had been raped. You know, it's like, they can't make something better. Let's rape her. But I will say that the episode was not what I was expecting. I thought it was, I guess, very well done for what it was, you know. It was also one of the actors was from the television show Dollhouse. Daichin something or another? I can't remember. I can't remember what her name was. She was one of the dolls. She's from Australia or New Zealand. I want to say New Zealand, but I could be wrong. But she also gives, you know, the whole connection to the genre, genre television because of because of Dollhouse. I also want to say she's done some other stuff that might be familiar, but I can't remember what any of it is right now. So, moving on. That was a show that kind of also sort of like, less like Last Ship. It has a lot of it makes me question whether or not it could be considered science fiction, you know, because nothing really spooky happened it was definitely more of a drama, you know. Every now and then there was some shooting ups, but there was never really any like overt science fiction-y stuff. However, it did feel a lot like Lost. Remember, Lost really started off about these people who were in a plane crash, you know, and every now and then they throw in some really weird stuff, but it didn't really get weird right off the bat, you know. And that's what this show felt like. It felt like, you know what, at any second now, it's going to get really weird. But it got canceled, so it never really, I guess, got the opportunity to really get extremely out there. So, like I said, I'm really hesitant to call it like a genre show, like a science fiction show. You know, sort of like in the same way that a lot of people, myself included, hesitate to call Jeremiah a science fiction show, even though Jeremiah takes place in some sort of dystopian post-apocalyptic future. There wasn't a whole lot of science fiction stuff going on beyond the setting, you know. And I suppose having, you know, the creation of a brand new nuclear power could be one. I don't know. Anyway, the last ship sort of reminded me of The Last Resort. I guess mostly because a lot of it has to do with keeping together the chain of command and power structure that both captains had to do. It's just two really different reasons, you know. On Last Resort, it was pretty much a crisis of their own making. And with the last ship, they have absolutely no control whatsoever over the situation that got them there. And it's really weird because, you know, I was thinking about this at work today. Their big thing is they have the genetic material as well as the scholastic authority type figure who could make a vaccine. You know, they could do that. But who would they deliver it to? Because the way they make it sound, in fact, there was a character in one of the later episodes who said that 60 million Chinese people died in one day. Maybe as many as 3 days. Whatever it was a lot of people really quick. And I know I could be wrong about this, but I could have sworn that they said that it was like 90% fatal. So they're dealing with a planet that only has like 10% of the people left. Nations and corporations and all kinds of just power structures that did exist should no longer exist, you know? I wonder where they're gonna go with the story from that aspect, you know. They were under orders from the United States, you know, from the President of the United States, but there's no guarantee that the President is still there. There's no guarantee there is even still a United States. The people on this ship could be, you know, the world superpower because they have the most weapons. Anyway, you know, we'll see, because so right now the show's only in the 3 episodes, and with each episode there's been a new villain, you know. And it's weird because each villain that they've had has, you know, made sense in the grander scheme of things. If I was telling a story, I don't know if these are the villains that I would have used, but I'm not telling the story. I'm just along for the ride. And so far, to me, it's a pretty good ride. I'm curious to see where it goes. I'm also curious to see if it'll do what so many other shows in the past have done. And that's just, you know, pissing me off to the point where I'm like, hey, what is this crap? I'm done. You know, because I think that Falling Skies is probably the biggest example of that happening. But that was for a very specific reason. And I don't think that they can get away with doing that particular thing again with this show because of how it's structured and how the cast is structured. And quite frankly, it wouldn't make sense, you know? I mean, from a realism standpoint. But we'll see. We'll see. Thank you for listening, and I will be back soon with another episode.
I'm going to go.